You're listening to The Christian Book Show. Real authors, real discussions, real issues. Books are about ideas. As believers, our ideas ought to be better. Our stories more compelling. We're here to spread ideas that lead to life. Our Savior made the religious establishment nervous and gave hope to the common people. We're here to do the same. Christian authors, leaders, and influencers share their message. Let's talk to the author.
Hi, folks. Welcome to this edition of The Christian Book Show. I've got somebody very interesting on this podcast. It's Rivi Litvin, and I'll tell you something, a little bit about her book and then about Rivi. And when I say a little bit about her book and about Rivi, this is a big book, and Rivi's got a big history. So stay with me for a bit while I read bio of the book, and then from Rivi's bio, and then we'll meet Rivi. And the book is called Presenting Jesus, the Son of Israel, a Jewish commentary on the Gospels. It is inarguable that few names are as well known in the world as the name of Jesus. But who is he really? Who was he? There are many worthy commentaries of the Gospels in existence, but most of them do not seek out to present Jesus as he appeared on earth, during his early life, in his culture, and among his own Jewish people. What happened over the ages that caused the world to begin to see Jesus as a son of Greece instead of an observant Jew? What have we lost by seeing his life and work out of context? Presenting Jesus, the Son of Israel, a Jewish commentary of the Gospels, reintroduces us to the true Jesus, whose life's mission was to enlighten those around him and bring them closer to the Almighty Creator of the universe. That's just a bit from the back of the book. I'm going to read you a bit about Rivi. And again, it's a big book. Rivi's got a big history, so the bio is not a two-sentence bio. Rivi Litvin is a third-generation Israeli scholar, author, and lecturer who is widely regarded worldwide and an authority on the time period from 400 BCE to 400 CE. And we'll see during our conversation why that's important. Over the course of her career, Rivi has spoken in front of thousands at universities, various religious and theological institutions, and national gatherings. She's lectured in 15 countries, and her work has been translated into several languages, including German and Spanish. Her teachings have been distributed internationally in 30 countries. Rivi was born in Bat Yam, educated in the Orthodox Jewish tradition. She served in the Israeli Defense Forces during the Six-Day War in 67, and she was part of the reserves in 73 during the Yom Kippur War. Impacted deeply by her time at IDF, Rivi developed an interest in other religions and left Israel to study abroad. While spending several months at the Dr. Francis Schaeffer Center Labrie in the Swiss Alps, Rivi developed a great interest in the Gospels, realizing the intricate connection to the Jewish tradition. In 1980, Rivi moved to the United States to study theology, and together with her late husband, Daniel, opened up an educational organization, HIM, which reached thousands of people worldwide as Rivi and Danny researched and taught Judaism, the Gospels, and the Hebrew Scriptures together. In 1986, Danny passed away from a sudden heart attack, leaving Rivi to raise her three daughters and continue the work at HIM on her own. Rivi returned to Israel in the 90s, where she founded and operated an educational center nestled in the hills of Galilee for a decade. The center welcomed hundreds of visitors who came to Israel to study from all over the globe. Rivi now resides in Southern California, where she continues to teach and is working on the final volumes of her book series, Jesus, the Son of Israel, a Jewish Commentary on the Gospels. Rivi, that was a heck of a bio. Welcome to the podcast. Yeah, you know, Rivi, I was going to cut some of this out, but I thought, it's all too interesting. I don't think I want to cut anything out.
Oh, well.
Welcome, Rivi. What did I not cover in that bio?
Well, I really don't know. As you said, it's a big bio, and a lot of the details are covered in it.
Let me touch on something I might not have covered.
Okay.
And this is the elephant in the room.
Okay.
Rivi, you have a background as coming from Orthodox Jewish background.
Yeah.
You are not a Christian.
No.
You are a Jewish historian.
Okay.
True potential. we published your book on the Gospels. First of all, you wrote a book on the Gospels, which is, you know, from a outside perspective, it might be a little odd that somebody with an Orthodox Jewish background would write a book on the Christian Gospels. True Potential, who published your book, is a Christian publisher.
Okay.
A publisher for Christian books. Why would you publish with a Christian publisher, and why would a Christian publisher publish the book? And me being the publisher, I can say I came in it with wide eyes wide open. So I was excited to publish the book. But I think it's, it would be an interesting kind of way to start our conversation to say, how did we even get together on this in the first place? What's the purpose, Rivi, for you writing this book and you writing it to Christians?
Okay, so there is a lot of questions in this one question. Yeah. I'll start with the end. And what's the purpose? The purpose is to educate people, because we understand things better when we get the information that we need. And unfortunately, for all these years, thousands of years now, the church did not have this information, right? People were studying the history of Jesus as a Christian, basically. You know, I would go and talk in churches and I would ask them, tell me, for the first time I'm in that church, right? And I will ask them, tell me, what nationality was Jesus? And they would say, Catholic. Okay, so that's telling you where people are, okay? People that never heard about any of the history of Jesus has no contact to Judaism whatsoever, don't know anything about it. And he is like a different person than the real historical Jesus, okay? Because the real historical Jesus was a Jew, was an Orthodox Jew, in fact, okay, who, you know, identified with his nation, who lived in Israel, who spoke Hebrew, who taught the Torah to his disciples, you know. This is the kind of person he was. He kept all the different commandments. He kept the Sabbath. He celebrated the feast. He went to the temple. Everything. He ate kosher. All of this is happened to with the historical Jesus, but the people in the church often don't know much about it. And I think that it's really important for them to know in order to really understand who he was. Not only that, I studied the New Testament for all these years, probably 35 years now. And the New Testament has Hebraic idioms in them that often were not translated right. Because, you know, an idiom sometimes doesn't make sense if you translate it directly. If you translate it straight, it doesn't make any sense. Yep. We have an idiom in Hebrew that says, and that's a very simple thing, let's go and sit on a cup of coffee. Well, it doesn't make any sense in English, right? Because nobody sits on cups of coffee. But the reality is that for us, that's an idiom that says, let's get together. Okay?
That makes sense.
Yeah, but if you translate it directly, it doesn't make any sense. And that's what's happening often in the New Testament with Hebraic idioms. So those Hebraic idioms have to be translated properly. And so that's part of the reason why I wrote it. I wrote it to enlighten people so they would understand who Jesus was really was, what was his teaching like, what did he teach, and also so they would come to do that which he wanted them to do, which was to bring them closer to the Father. That's how he put it. Okay, so that's really the purpose of the book.
You covered very eloquently why you wrote the book, and let me just say why I published the book.
Okay,
I was born into a Christian home. My father was a Christian minister. I was educated as a Christian, and I was brought up in the church. And as I looked, my father was also an historian, and as I looked at Christianity, American Christianity especially, as an adult, I saw a lot of my faith that didn't go back 2,000 years. It might have gone back 200 years, or maybe even 400 years, and in some cases even 100 years, just depending on the church you go to and the doctrine they believe. And what I was seeing in the Christian church is the foundations that we had for our faith didn't go all the way back to 2,000 years ago,
right,
to where Jesus lived. We, you know, we say, well, why do you believe that? Well, because it's in the Bible. And then we come to find out that a lot of the things we believe may have just come from what we were told in the church, and or in the way we perceived or translated the Bible. You know, it's kind of funny. A lot of traditional Christians will talk like you and I are talking now, but when they pray, they will start saying thee and thou and thy, and that's not, and because that language is to them more spiritual.
Right.
And you and I both know that that language comes from 1611. It doesn't come from 30 AD. So the reason I want Christians to read this book is I want them to develop a much deeper, real foundation of the world that Jesus was in when he came, and the kind of language that he spoke, and the kind of life that he lived.
Yeah. Good. That's very important, as I said. And you know, talking about it, I always tell people that, you know, we got this problem because when people say, I'm going back to the roots, when Christians say, I'm going back to the roots, usually they're going back to the fathers of the church. Okay? So anywhere from now, back to the fathers of the church. And the fathers of the church, you're talking third, fourth, fifth century.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know, this is not the time when Jesus was upon the earth and functioned and did what he did. Okay? This is 300-400 years later. Things changed dramatically. And you're talking about different cultures, you're talking about different languages, you're talking about different religions, you've got paganism of the Roman Empire on one side, and you got Judaism on the other side. Okay, those two don't match. You know, those two contradict each other pretty strongly.
A lot happened in 300 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and as you know, I read the Gospels myself several times, and I couldn't find Christmas trees or December 25th anywhere in them.
Right. This is all additional material.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're still stuck with the Roman Empire, pretty much. So, okay. So, yeah. So you got this hump, like a big mountain sitting there that seems there to be blocking people from making this jump over to the first century, you know?
So what are some interesting things that Christians are going to learn about Jesus that they may not have known before in presenting Jesus?
Well, I think that the most important thing for them to learn is that he's the son of Israel, and that's why I entitled the book like this, okay? But there are different things. You know, one of the things, for instance, that people talk about, and usually it's accepted as like, that's the fact, is that Jesus was born at 4 BC, okay? Oh, but was he born at 4 BC? Right? And when you look at history, that cannot be the case. Okay? Herod was pretty much alive when Jesus was born, remember? He wanted to kill all the children, according to the gospel. And Herod died in March April of 4 BC. Okay? And early in 5 BC, he left Jerusalem and he was banished to Gaul. So he never returned to Jerusalem after that because he died in exile. So from here already we see Yeshua could not have been Jesus, you know, his name is Yeshua, could not have been born after 6 BC because Herod left Jerusalem at 5 BC. So, you know, and there are other things that point to the fact that he probably was born around 8 BC.
That brings up something pretty very interesting, because if you have to talk about if you have to make a date as to when he was born, then you've got a date, you've got to establish a date in which he was crucified.
Yeah.
And there is this this belief, and I don't, you know, it would be interesting about where it comes from, but you ask a Christian how old was Jesus when he was crucified, and they're going to say 33, early 30s, 33, something like, you know, 33 is the number that sticks in our heads.
Right.
And if he was, and talk to us about the date, how well we know about the date of his crucifixion, and then we can take a look at when he was born, and we're discovering that Jesus could have been older than 33 when he was crucified.
Right, right. You know, I don't know why the church established a date of 33 years old when he died, but it doesn't work with historical facts. It doesn't work with the time of the census, and without going into a lot of details about it, you know, when the census took place. And it doesn't work with what I said about Herod as well. So, you know, he more likely was around 8. He was born around 8 BC, okay, and then he was crucified. The date of crucifixion is established. We know that he was crucified at 30 AD. There is no questions about it, okay? So obviously he was closer to 40 at the time that he was crucified, okay? And people think, well, what difference does it make? Well, it does make a difference. First of all, it has to fit history. And secondly, because if you're looking at the Bible, 40 is a very important number.
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. Because I want to stop a gut reaction that some Christians may have had over this discussion. And that's, you know, we think if you're saying that Jesus could have been closer to 40 and not 33, there, you know, you want to say, well, that's heresy. But it's really heresy against a tradition that Christians hold, we hold right now. It's not necessarily a heresy against what the truth is. And when you think about it deeper, I want you now to talk about age 40 and about the year 40, because it gives us an opportunity to kind of take the shade off the light and to see, that is an important date. Does that make sense, Rivi?
Yeah.
I wanted to, you know, our first reaction is going to be, you're saying it wasn't 33 when he died. That's, you know, that's not what I believe. But now you're starting to say, now you just entered into saying, wait a minute. There's something much more important that you need to realize about his date.
Yeah. Well, I probably would not call it a heresy, because heresy is a real heavy word. And
in Christian thought, unfortunately, in modern Christian thought, a lot of Christians cry heresy just because you say something that maybe their daddy didn't teach them or their granddaddy didn't teach them. So we don't know how to use the word heresy properly sometimes.
Okay, but yeah, it doesn't contradict any Christian doctrine. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
You know, because really, if you think about it, if there is no reason for 40, then what difference does it make if it was 33 or 40 or 38 or 35, okay? But there is a reason for 40. At least biblically there is, okay? Because 40 is such an important number in the Bible. So, you know, God used it often. You had the rain falling on the earth for 40 days and then it stopped, you know? We have the children of Israel being slaved in Egypt for 400 years, which is 10 times 40. And then what happened? They were redeemed. You had the children of Israel spent 40 years in the desert, and then what happened? They got the promised land, okay? Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights with God on Mount Sinai, and then he brought the Torah, which was a gift of love from God. Goliath, you know, challenged the armies of Israel for 40 days before David came around and slew him. David ruled over Israel for 40 years, and then came King Solomon and built the temple. You know, Elijah was fed by for 40 days and 40 nights before God met him on Mount Horeb. Jesus was tested for 40 days in the desert before his ministry started, okay? You got more. These are just few examples, okay? And all of this shows one thing. There is a trial of some sort, or there is a certain situation taking place, 40 days or 40 years or 40 months, 40 weeks, whatever you got it. Later, there is some sort of redemption happening, some sort of a positive thing happening,
that,
right?
That, Rivi, right there is an example of shedding light on a person's faith and shedding light on the history of the time that can make a person's faith richer than it was before.
Yeah.
And that's why I want Christians to read this book. I don't want them to agree with everything you say. I want them to have a better understanding of who their Savior is and who he was when he was on earth. And you cover so much in this book. I just wanted you to talk about that because it's just one example. But you cover the genealogies of Jesus. You cover Zechariah, even Gabriel's message and the birth of Jesus and the shepherds. There's so much light here to be shed that it's only going to make, a Christian's belief about who they worship richer. When they know the Jesus that walked on the earth, they have an opportunity to love and regard him much more than just the Jesus that they might have learned about in Sunday school. Does that make sense?
Yeah, make a lot of sense. And that's exactly my goal too, that they would understand Jesus the way he was, the way he intended them to understand him.
And this is not a threat to a Christian's faith at all. This book is not a threat at all. If anything, it just gives you that much more foundation for your faith.
Yeah, well, I don't see... first of all, it didn't mean to be. It was not meant to be a threat. And secondly, you know, if you have the truth, what are you afraid of?
Yeah, yeah. Like my father said, God's not afraid of the truth. You know, my father was a Baptist minister. He says, folks, you don't need to defend God. He's not afraid of the truth. He made the truth.
So, right.
Yeah.
Right.
This book really is almost 300 pages, 296 pages. This is not a small book.
Okay.
And this is a book that is not just one easy reading, but I think it's a resource that people can come back to time and time again. So I want them to encourage Christians, I want to encourage our readers that if you want to understand more about who you worship, who you love, this is the way to understand who Jesus was when he walked the earth, the people around him, his religion, his following of Jewish tradition. If you love Jesus, you want to know more about him, this is a book to go to.
Yeah.
What last thoughts, Rivi? I want to tell people how to get the book and how to find you, but what last thoughts do you have? You didn't cover everything about Jesus in this book. This is volume one of a series, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. I in this volume I just covered from before his birth to the time that he was just about to start his public work, and it was just a good place to stop because there is so much information. The book is loaded with information, as you know, and for me to cover the rest of his life, which I'm intending to do, God willing, then I, you know, we need to cut it to volumes. And I actually have volume 2 now, and I'm working on volume 3, and I hope that each volume will cover the next. Well, that's the plan, that each volume will cover the next session until we get to the resurrection.
Fantastic.
So that's the plan for it.
Where can people find you, Rivi, and find out more about the book?
Yeah, well, the website is rivilitvin.com, I believe.
Yeah, and it's RIVILITVIN.
Hi. And the other, the social media is, again, what? Facebook.
On Facebook, just go in your search bar, Rivi Litvin. Absolutely.
Right. And my email is rivilitvin@gmail.com. It's really easy. You know, if they have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer. If someone reads the book and he have question, he or she, I'll be more than happy to answer.
That's wonderful. Thank you for that. And I'll have all that information on the show notes, how to get a hold of Rivi on the Christian Book Show, where this podcast is. So I'll have all that information in the show notes. I'm sorry, Rivi, go ahead.
I just want to say one more thing is, you know, as the subtitles we have on the book, a Jewish commentary on the Gospels. I really was debated whether to call it a commentary because, you know, I think maybe the word commentary might scare some people, you know, it's so serious, it's or whatever. But when I came to think about it later, I was thinking that a commentary usually has certain characteristics, you know. It's usually give you verse by verse, and it's got certain amount of information, usually limited to a paragraph or so, a few lines about each verse and so forth. This is not what this book is about, you know. I didn't cover every verse in the Gospels. And I elaborated on the things that were going to shed the most light on them, okay? Not just anything. So I'm not talking, like, if you take, for instance, baptism, okay, which is immersion in Judaism. I don't talk about it in one paragraph. There is a whole chapter on it, okay? So, but because it's explaining situations within the Gospels, explaining things, I called it a commentary. But maybe perhaps it would have been better to say an understanding, you know, rather than a commentary.
I think our idea of commentary is kind of that, you know, one paragraph, you know, verse by verse. And I think this is a much deeper understanding of commentary. So I like the idea that you called it a commentary. It's just not going to be a commentary like readers are used to. And
yeah.
I think they're going to appreciate the deep dive that you do. The fact that you're almost 300 pages and you just get to like the beginning of his ministry. there's more on Mary and more on Zechariah than many Christians have ever read. So I think it gives such a great base to any Christian to see it from this perspective.
Right. Good foundation, I hope.
I think so. Thank you so much, Rivi, for your time. And
you will.
I look forward to getting a peek at Volume 2. I think once people read Volume 1, they'll be very, very hungry for Volume 2.
I hope so.
Great. Thank you for your time, Rivi.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Christian Book Show. To learn more about the author and the book featured in this interview, visit christianbookshow.com. No spaces, no dashes. That's christianbookshow.com. The show notes on this interview. Be sure to subscribe so you won't miss the next interview.